want to thank the Lord. Oh, good morning. Happy Sabbath. So we want to thank the Lord for this family who never ceases to praise the name of the Lord through special songs. Every first of the month, the family is ready to sing. I want to thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to deliver this message. And I was astonished to see how Elder Charles got into my message without asking me. He got into my message this morning in doing the lesson, and he didn't even ask me. All right, so I'm happy to see so many people in the church today. Amen. And you know, I have two friends in the church. I'm not going to name them, but one of them, sometimes she cannot come here. It is either she is sick or her brother is sick. And I will never forget her. And every time she wanna go to Georgia, I think in the past 5 years, I said, no, you're not gonna go to Georgia. You stay here. And by God's grace, she's here worshiping with us. So welcome to everybody. There is someone in the back that probably we have never seen before. We wanna welcome him. Okay. What is his name? Paul? Oh, okay. Welcome, Paul. All right. You can see on the screen the title of my message. What is the title of it? Before I start, I'm going to pray later. But before I start, let me ask you a question. Who among you loves strict obedience? Nobody, I promise you. I promise you, nobody loves strict obedience. But this is what God requires from us. All right. So, brothers and sisters, what's going on here? Okay, let me put it here. Sorry. Hopefully it's... No? You don't want to work today with me? All right. Let's see. So let me give you just a little bit of the background of the message. I was on my bed last Saturday Sabbath. As you can see, around 7:30-ish. When I was recalled the story of Cain and Abel. This is another Abel that I put here. This is not the correct Abel. You know, it's A-B-E-L. I put A-B-L-E. Okay, that's a mistake. Everyone was still sleeping when I woke up to jot down the first slides of the possible message, knowing that I would have no time during the week to do so. So, it is a warning message to us living these last days. It is not a direct message, or it is not directed to anyone attending the church now. I'm praying that it will still be received in every heart. This message substitutes a previous one I communicated with James 10 days ago, thinking that last Sabbath was the first Sabbath of September. When he informed me, I told him that I may change it. Of course, this is important, with God's approval. So if God did not approve, I would not change it. Now, the message will have several key terms. The first one is strict obedience. Second one would be just obedience or disobedience. Or there are many key terms that I want you to highlight as I'm going through the message. The story of Cain and Abel, I put it right now, is mainly a controversy about worship. The acceptable worship and the unacceptable worship of God. This controversy or controversy will follow us till the end of the investigative judgment. When we get to the end of the investigative judgment, the controversy will be over. But not until we get to that time, there will always be controversy of worship, either in the home, in the church, or among the churches. You see, both Cain and Abel were what? I need you to interact with me, please, because it is an interactive message. Both Cain and Abel were what? Reared by whom? Receiving what? Regarding what? Worship and service that is acceptable to their Creator. The story shows that the Cain, that Cain, who should be a protector and an example to his younger sibling brother, became jealous of him, resulting in what? Killing him. As I said, not until we get to the end of the investigative judgment, there will be controversy in the church, even in the home, and also among the churches. Seventh-day Adventists, we have a certain way to worship God, and the other ones have their way to worship their God. And it will result in the last two words of the sentence, result in killing him. Now, Paul's was instructed by the Holy Spirit to warn the church concerning this. Across the Bible, God has inspired the holy writers to relate stories of how he dealt with people who, highlight this word, neglected to obey his instructions. Now, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. God's instructions are written, verbal, or given through examples. Highlight those. When God speaks, when God instructs his children, he does it through three mediums. written word, verbal words, and what? Examples. So we need to go through the Bible to read, to understand it, so that we can apply the examples given to us by God. I have been talking about strict obedience. I will be praying in a second. Give me 1 second. It says, after their sin, Adam and Eve earnestly, highlight this word, earnestly entreated that they might remain in the home of their innocency or innocence and joy, which is Eden. Listen to that. Let us read that together if we can. They pledge what? They pledge themselves for the future to yield what? Strict what? Obedience to God. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did they pledge themselves for the future to yield strict obedience? Why? Anybody guessing? Because they were not strictly obeying God. They obeyed, but not strictly. Let us pray. Let us pray. And when I'm done, please say amen. Because usually church members do not say amen. When a prayer is done, when someone has prayed, when someone has sung a song, we say amen. Dear God, please. Elder Bosiri, earlier prayed that you would use your own word, not my words, to convey a message to every church member attending this meeting, this worship experience today. I'm asking you to do the same thing. If I have that tendency of saying anything coming from me, please take these words away. Let your will be done and our sins forgiven. Open our eyes to understand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Now, let's get into the lesson. Those two men, this one is Cain, and this one is Abel. And we know this one is Cain because of what? He offered God what? Okay? And this man, Abel, we know that he is Abel because of what? There's a light that came from heaven. Okay, we will see that. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. When you bring your tithes and offering to God, do you bring the ugliest dime, pennies, or dollar bills? No. You bring the ones that are unspotted, beautiful, clean. But the Bible does not say that Cain brought the best of his fruit. The Bible just says that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, not the best ones. All right. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So you see here two categories of what? Worshippers. You remember that I told you they had the same parents, same education, but still each one of them has decided which kind of worship they want to render to God. Now, this is who again? Cain, and this one is Abel. Sister White says, Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam, were very unlike in character. Abel feared God. Cain cherished what? Rebellious feelings and murmured against God because of the curse pronounced upon Adam and because the ground was cursed for his sin. Sometimes we're not happy even with God because of our suffering due to what we have done wrong to the Lord, and we would not accept that we were or are wrong. The same mentality that Cain had. He was complaining against God. These brothers had been instructed in regard to the provision made for the salvation of the human race. Let me ask you a question. What kind of? I need the whole answer. I need the whole answer, not part of the answer. What kind of offerings did God require from them? Yes?
A burnt offering of flesh.
Okay, thank you. Somebody else? Blood, thank you. Somebody else? Okay, thank you. Now, let me... If I were to grade you, to give you a grade, it would be 50% of the answer. I would be gracious to give you 75%. With the fruit. The fruit symbolizes his their recognition of the goodness of God bestowing upon them the riches of the earth. And the blood symbolizes what? The blood of Jesus Christ that has to be shed for them and for us on Calvary. But the best of it should be blood. All right. Now let us read that. They were required to carry out a system of what? Humble what? Obedience. Showing their reverence for God and their faith and dependence upon the promised Redeemer by slaying the firstlings of the flock and solemnly presenting them with the blood as a burnt offering to God. Let us read this. The sacrifice would lead them to continually keep in mind their sin and the Redeemer to come who was to be the great sacrifice for man. Strict obedience. Follow me. Cain brought his offering unto the Lord with murmuring and infidelity in where? His heart in regard to the promised sacrifice. This morning we were studying, part of the lesson was that we cannot atone for ourselves. It is impossible. If someone tries to save himself, surely he will fail. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. Still, Cain was murmuring, and there was what in his heart? Infidelity. All right. He was unwilling to strictly. The same thing that his father and mother promised God, he refused to do it. He was unwilling to strictly follow the plan of obedience and procure what? A lamb and offer it with the fruit of the ground. Lamb with the fruit of the ground. Those two. He merely took of the ground and disregarded the requirement of God. God had made known to Adam that without what? Shedding of what? Blood. There could be no forgiveness. No forgiveness. Doubt and murmurings. Cain was not particular to bring even the best of the fruits. Did I tell you that earlier? He was not particular to bring even the best of the fruits. When they ask you to bring food for a potluck, what kind of food have you prepared? This is for the church. We can bring this to... Are you talking about the church of God or about something else? What type of care did you take to prepare the food that will feed the church of God? What type of cleanliness have you used to prepare the food that will be used to feed the church of God? No. Cain being, Abel advised his brother not to come before the Lord without the blood of sacrifice. Now, give me some time, please. I did not eat this morning, but I'm not hungry to the point that I'm hastening the message, washing through it. Why do you think Abel advised his brother not to come before the Lord without the blood of sacrifice? If I advise somebody, anybody, not to do something, there should be a precedent. It seems that there are two possibilities. The first one, it seems that Cain has already done it once or twice or several times, and Abel said, no, you ought not to do it that way. Or he told Abel, that I will do it that way. All right. Now, Cain being the eldest, this is the problem. I am older than you. I have more knowledge than you. I have been in the church longer than you. What are you talking about? I went to school. I went to Oakwood, to Harvard University, or to MIT, or Andrews University, or Southern. What? Cain, being the eldest, would not listen to his brother. He despised his counsel. And with doubt and murmuring in regard to the necessity. Why is that for? Why should I be doing that? Is there a reason that I should be killing an animal? After all, I love animals. I don't want to kill them. Hypocrisy. And with doubt and murmuring in regard to the necessity of the ceremonial offerings, he presented his offering. But God did not accept it. Do you know that some people may be worshiping God all they want? but their worship will never be accepted. He is angry at God, or I don't know if you want to say with, and Abel. Who is doing that? Abel brought two of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat as God had commanded, and in full faith of the Messiah to come, and with humble reverence, he presented the offering. God had respect unto his offering. A light flashed from heaven and consumes the offering of Abel. Cain sees no manifestation that his is accepted. He is angry. He is angry with the Lord and with whom? God condescends to send an angel to Cain to converse with him. Now, there are people, even if angels talk to them, they will not obey. The Israelite people were like that. Not even talk about a human being. Jesus has given a parable like that when he was talking about Lazarus. The rich man was in hell and asked to send somebody from heaven to put some water on his tongues so that he can live. And Jesus said, I don't remember exactly, if those who are here, they would not obey him, an angel would not make any difference. If nobody listened to Jesus Christ, they would not listen to you and me. They would not. Now it says, so this is another thing. I'm talking about strict obedience. I'm talking about hatred. I'm talking about all of these things. Do you know who those three people are? Magi. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he, capital H, that is born king, capital K, of the Jews? Talking about whom? Jesus. For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now let me ask a question. Quick question, quick answer. Were these magi magicians? No, they were not. They were not magicians. The wise men from the east were philosophers. They belonged to a large and influential class that included men of noble birth and comprised much of the wealth of learning of their nation. Among these were many who imposed on the credulity of the people. Others were upright men who studied the indications of providence in nature and who were honored for their integrity and wisdom. Of this character were the wise men who came to Jesus. Why am I talking about that? You will see. They were not idolaters. The priest, listen to that. So you remember that when Jesus was born, who were the first to know about it? Shepherds. When the shepherds heard about Jesus' birth, they went to the place indicated by the angels coming from heaven. And they saw Jesus Christ and did worship. They worshiped him. But the priests, the elders, rabbis, Sadducees, Pharisees, they knew nothing about that. God says, okay, I'm going to send another group of people to arouse what? Their mind on that topic. The priests are rehearsing traditions. They extol their religion and their own piety while they denounce the Greeks and Romans as heathen and sinners above others. The wise men are not idolaters, and in the sight of God, they stand far higher than do these, talking about priests, his professed worshippers. Yet they are looked upon by the Jews as hidden. Follow me. Even among the appointed guardians of the holy oracles, their eager questionings touch no chord of sympathy. So the first group of people, the shepherds, told them about the birth of Jesus Christ, the newborn king. They believed that the shepherds were the cast out, the rejected of society. How could a God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, talk to you overpassing us? This is impossible. When God sent the Magi, they said the same thing. How could God send people, hidden people, instead of talking through us? The priests and elders. The priests and elders of Jerusalem were not as ignorant concerning the birth of Christ as they pretended when Herod asked them to go search for him and come back, tell me exactly where he was born. The report of the angels' visit to the shepherds had been brought to Jerusalem, but the rabbis had treated what? The message as unworthy of their notice. They themselves might have found Jesus and might have been ready to lead the Magi to his birthplace. But instead of this, the wise men came to call their attention. What a shame. To the birth of the Messiah. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They said, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Pride and envy. How do you read the last word? Voila. You say voila. In French, we say voila. Voila. That's French. Okay? Now, pride and envy close the door against the light. If the reports brought by the shepherds and the wise men were credited, they would place the priests and rabbis in a most unenviable position, according to them, okay? Disproving their claim to be the exponents of the truth of God. That's why they believe we are elders, we are pastors, we are doctors of the law. We've been to the seminary. We know everything about the birth of Jesus Christ. That's the way they behave. These learned teachers would not stoop to be instructed by those whom they term hidden. It could not be, they said, that God had passed them by to communicate with ignorant shepherds or uncircumcised Gentiles. Pride and jealousy and envy and everything else. Contempt for the report. They determined to show their contempt for the reports that were exciting King Herod and all Jerusalem. They would not even go to Bethlehem to see whether these things were so. Listen to that. And they led the people to regard the interest in Jesus as a fanatical excitement. When you don't accept something which is the truth, you will try to have people with you to disregard that truth. This is the same thing that Satan has done in heaven, that he is still doing today until the close of probation. Here began the rejection of Christ by the priests and rabbis. From this point, their pride and stubbornness grew into a settled hatred of the Savior. While God was opening the door to the Gentiles, the Jewish leaders were closing the door to themselves. Many people, Seventh-day Adventist prophets, Christians, will not be saved because they themselves closed the door to themselves. It is not God doing it. It is them doing it to themselves. I asked one of the... So Sister White went to a place in a vision that is not on the earth. Listen what happens. Listen. And follow me, please. I asked one of them, of the people, of the individuals, not human being. She asked one of them why they were so much more lovely than those on the earth. What do you think the answer was? Sister White asked one of these people, why you guys, you are so lovely, and so what? You're not following. So lovely than those on the earth. The reply was, we have lived, how? Be with me, please. What was the answer? We have lived in strict obedience to the commandments of God. You remember I told you God communicates with us through written word, what? Verbal words and behavior, examples. Okay. And have not fallen by disobedience like those on the earth. I beg of my attending angel to let me remain in that place. Sister White, why not stay there? I could not bear the thought of coming back to this dark world again, because that was a lovely place. Yes. Then the angel said, you must go back. And if you are faithful, you with the 144,000 shall have the privilege of visiting all the world and viewing the handiwork of God. We cannot wait. I cannot wait to be able to visit all the worlds and viewing what? The handiwork of God. Keep going. Now, this is the second phase. Traditions versus strict obedience. His brothers, you will see who I am talking about. His brothers, as the sons of Joseph, were called, sided with the rabbis. The brothers of whom? Jesus. They sided with whom? The leaders. Rather than siding themselves with Jesus Christ. They insisted that the traditions must be heeded, as if they were the requirements of God. Jesus is our example. His strict obedience to the law of God, they condemned as what? stubbornness. They were surprised at the knowledge and wisdom he showed in answering the rabbis. They knew that he had not received instruction from the wise men, which are the leaders of the church. Yet they could not but see that he was an instructor to them. They recognized that his education was of a higher type than their own. Still, they would not accept him. His own brothers. A sacred duty rests upon parents. I'm talking to you, parents. Particularly, we see a few parents here who have little children. God is talking to you through this book. A sacred duty rests upon parents to guide their children into paths of strict obedience. True happiness in this life and in the future life depends upon strict, even though you don't see strict, but it is strict obedience to what? It thus saith the Lord. This is the only thing that we need to fear or to obey. It thus saith the Lord. And I'm so pleased one more time that the two elders have prayed that I would say only things given me by God. And so far, there's no opinion, no opinions. This is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Parents, let Christ's life be the pattern. You see, the example of Christ. Let Christ's life be the pattern. Satan will devise every possible means to break down this high standard of piety as one altogether too strict. Satan will say, this is too strict. How could we do that? It is impossible. We cannot do it. Those are excuses. It is your work to impress upon your children in their early years the thought that they are formed in the image of God. Giving children an example of strict obedience, the special work of parents is to make the laws of God plain to their children and to urge their obedience to them, that they may see the importance of obeying God all the days of their life. This was the work of Moses. What was the work of Moses? He was to enjoin upon parents their duty to give to their children an example of what? Strict obedience. Reality? Let us talk about it. Now, we come to the time before us. As the years pass by and the church increase in numbers, we want church membership to increase, don't we? Yes. That's why we want to have an evangelistic series beginning when? November the 2nd, for 2 weeks. That many church members, many people can get to the church and give their lives to Christ. That's our duty, okay? But the church increased in numbers and in popularity. There were many who became less and still less strict, less and less strict in their obedience to Bible teaching. I promise you, almost every church that has many members, the obedience to God is declining in terms of standard. Oh, you can do that. That's nothing. You can come to the church and do this and that. This is for God. It is not a sin. until finally in the 5th and 6th centuries after Christ, the greater number of those who claimed to be Christians were in reality not living in harmony with the teachings of Christ. For many centuries thereafter, an apostate form of Christianity held sway, which gave birth to Catholicism. The truth was suppressed and lost sight of, and ignorance prevailed. When church leaders fail to address issues in the church, you lower the standard, and ignorance will prevail. I promise you. Church members will do whatever pleases them, because you as elders, you as pastors, you as deacons, or whatever title you have, you don't say anything. The guilt of these leaders in Israel was not like the guilt of the ordinary sinner. These men stood under the most solemn obligation to God. They had pledged themselves to teach, thus saith the Lord, and to bring strict obedience into their practical life. Instead of doing this, they were perverting the scriptures. God had made it their privilege and duty to enter the land. Talking about who? You will say it. God had made it their privilege and duty to enter the land at the time of his appointment. But through their willful neglect, that permission had been withdrawn. The Israelite people, God told them to attack the other nation. They would not do it. And then when the Lord said, don't do it, they say, we will do it. This is it. And then, listen what they say. We have sinned against the Lord. They cried, we will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded. But the Lord said, no, don't. They said, yes, we will go. This is what you said. The Lord said, I did not say that. You don't go. You don't go. So terribly blinded had they become. The Lord had never commanded them to go up and fight. It was not his purpose that they should gain the land by warfare, but by what? Strict obedience to his commandments. Strict obedience. This, you know it. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How much of us should we give to God? All right? Do you remember this text, Elder? This is it. All the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And they said it how many times? In Exodus chapter 24, verse 3. This is it. Three times, this is in the lesson, I took it this morning. Three times they said about the same thing. Exodus 19, verse 3, verse 8. Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 and 7. All according to the pattern. Okay. You talk about it. That's why I was trying to pull your ears. You should not be talking about it. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to what? All that I showed thee. After what? The pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. All. All. We will get into it a little bit more. If you go to Exodus 40, verses 1 to 33, talking about the offerings for the tabernacle, all should be followed closely without making one mistake. The ark, think about God telling you to build this house. And God says clearly everything what you should be doing. Clearly, think about how many pieces of wood do we see here? Go to the bathroom, go everywhere. God says this is how you should be doing it. Piece by piece. Nail by nail. And you said, nope, this is not important. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. I saw it, but I don't like it the way it is. Think about someone in the church saying the same thing when God commands or when God gives an example on how we should serve him and we decide to do something else. Think about it. Mercy seat. Meticulously put together. And God has given what to two and more of the Jews. What did God give him? His spirit and his wisdom. To do that, mercy seat, we talked about it this morning, and the showbread, and the golden lampstand. Those articles, those furniture should be meticulously put together, prepared to worship God without fault. You know what? You know why God has that? The temple symbolizes Jesus Christ. The temple, the sanctuary, symbolizes Jesus Christ. So if you present to the Lord a temple that is not well built, God will not be happy with that. So filled with the Spirit of God, God instructed Moses on every detail in preparation for the tabernacle services. Priests were to have priestly garment, but the high priest wore a special ephod. Other items to be carefully prepared. Carefully. You said it this morning, my brother. We got it from Thursday lesson. Other items to be carefully prepared were the altar of incense, the basin for washing, the anointing oil, and the incense. Let me tell you something. In the Bible, the Lord said, you see the perfume that I asked you to prepare? Nobody after that should prepare a perfume like that. If anybody does it, he will die. He will die. In the same proportion and same material. No, you cannot do that. Like the church. You may be taken about building on. You go to the Bible and you try to do a sanctuary or a temple like the sanctuary, the tabernacle in the wilderness. Offering for the tabernacle. And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. Who serve unto the example and shadow of many things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, the Lord, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee to thee in the mountain. Condition for God to dwell among us, and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, if Moses has decided to build a sanctuary, that is slightly different from what God showed him. Would God dwell among them? No. Do you think that God accepts our worship when we do it differently from the pattern given us by Jesus Christ? Let me say it again. Do you think that God receives, accepts our worship, whatever part of the worship it is, if it deviates just a little bit from what the Lord has instructed or the example left by Jesus to us, God does not accept it. Did God accept the offering of Cain? According to all that I show thee, in the pattern of all instrument thereof, even so shall ye make. Okay. Now, we know that already, but it says, according to all that the Lord had commanded them. God has given them wisdom, intelligence to do these things. Bezalel in Aholiab, something like that. However you want to read it, I don't care. And it says, having committed themselves to a course of opposition to Christ, talking about the Jews, every act of resistance, this is another keyword. Every act of resistance, if you see the truth, you resist the truth, there is a problem. We are coming to an end, okay? Every act of resistance became to the priest an additional incentive to pursue the same course. Their obstinacy, this is another keyword, their obstinacy became more and more determined. When you obstinately decide to do something wrong when you see the truth, you will be more determined to do more. It was not that they could not yield. They could, but would not. It was not alone because they were guilty and deserving of death, not alone because they had put to death the Son of God, that they were cut off from salvation. It was because they armed themselves with opposition to God. So, Sister White continues, they persistently, the Israelite people, the leadership, they persistently rejected light and stifled the convictions of the Spirit. The influence that controlled the decision of disobedience worked in them. The malignity of their rebellion was intensified by each successive act of resistance against God and the message he had given his servants to declare. Every day, in their refusal to repent, the Jewish leaders took up their rebellion afresh, preparing to reap that which they had sown. Sister White says, obstinacy is a barrier to all improvement. An obstinate man will not be readily convinced of anything which his sight cannot take in. He does not know what it means to walk by faith. He adheres to his own plans and opinions, be they right or wrong, because he has already adopted this line of thought. Warning rejected. I think this one is one before the last. God destroys no man. Everyone who is destroyed will have destroyed himself. Everyone who stifles the admonitions of conscience is sowing the seeds of unbelief, and these will produce a sure harvest. By rejecting the first warning from God, Pharaoh of old sowed the seeds of obstinacy. We studied that in this quarterly. And he reaped what? Obstinacy. God did not compel him to disbelieve. The seed of unbelief which he sowed produced a harvest of its kind. Thus his resistance continued until he looked upon his devastated land. We studied that. Upon the cold, dead form of his firstborn, and the firstborn of all his in his house, and of all the families in his kingdom, until the waters of the sea closed over his horses and his chariots and his men of war. We studied that. His story is a fearful illustration of the truth of the words that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did men but realize this, they would be careful what seed they sowed. Brothers and sisters, this lesson is for all the church members. I don't know anything about your life. nothing about you. But I know my heart. I know that sometimes I deviate, believing that God would not pay attention to this little thing. Little things can cause you to lose your eternal life. We need to obey God strictly. If we do, He will abide with us. He will take us to heaven. And as Sister White saw, those loving people living in a world that she has never been before, God will allow us to go to all the worlds, the universe. I need to be there. Let me see the hands of those who want to be there. Amen, amen, amen. Dear Father, please, we're trying to be honest and earnest with our prayers, asking you to change our lives and to make us as Jesus was. Jesus was following, was keeping your commandments. And a Sister White says, strictly. If Jesus Christ did not strictly keep your commandment, He would sin. And there would be no forgiveness of sin for us, no salvation. Please, every hand who was raised, bless them. And those who didn't, bless them. And save us all. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.